The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, whom he was expecting a child. While they were there, a time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over a flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news, great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is a Messiah, Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel multitude a heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and a child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning, we're going to talk about the first Christmas. Now, the celebration of Christmas has changed and evolved throughout the years, because there's things I do in my Christmas tradition that my parents didn't do, my grandparents sure didn't do, and you go back further and further back. Now, for example, every year around Christmas, at some point, I usually watch or listen to the movie It's a Wonderful Life. But you know, that movie came out in 1946. My grandfather was born in 1900, right? So he was well into his 40s when that movie even came out. You know? And you go back further and further back, the little traditions that we have are kind of stripped away. And we get back to where it all began. And believe it or not, it actually starts not in Bethlehem or Jerusalem. It actually starts in the city of Rome. No place like Rome. And we know from the ancient historians that Caesar Augustus was walking around one day and he took a little survey of who was married and single around him. And he became very upset. There was a whole bunch of single guys over here and just a handful of married guys over there. And so Caesar Augustus passed laws penalizing people who remain single. Okay. Now, as any good teacher tells you, when you have a go, it must be something you can measure. So how can we tell that we are doing a good job of this? Well, we need a census. And if you visit Caesar's burial place, he wrote his own tombstone. He wrote out a list of accomplishments. And one of the things he bragged about was that three times he took a census of the Roman Empire. He wanted to know how many citizens of the Roman Empire are there. And he did it three times during his lifetime. So Caesar says, "I have an idea. Let's take a census." You know, we had one of those back in 2020. I don't know how accurate it was, but here in our country, we do it every 10 years, and we find out how many people live in here and there, and we redraw political lines and such. Well, apparently, the governor of Syria thought, well, the boss is doing this. Maybe I should do this, too, with all the non-Roman citizens. So he says, we need to take a census. And perhaps as a kind of a way to make it more palatable to the Jewish people, he thought, you guys go back to your native towns of your ancestry, you know, and we'll count you there. Now, can you imagine a mess that was on the roads? Everybody is up and moving around, going back to the old hometown. It's like holiday traffic. And so here's Joseph. So he leaves Nazareth and Galilee and heads up towards Bethlehem, the old home place. And he takes Mary with him. But I think Mary was smart enough to know that this actually is working out together. I think she knew her Bible enough, the prophet Micah. O thou Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, all these shall come forth to me. He that is to be ruler of all Israel, whose coming has been of old from time everlasting. I think she realized that Caesar Augustus had inadvertently, the earthly emperor, has set and played the emotions for the arrival of the heavenly ruler, the true king, the birth of Jesus. And so they go up there, and this is part I learned a few years ago, and I read it, and I thought, well, was that accurate? And so I had to look this up to make sure that it wasn't just something somebody made up. But in here, you know, we had the famous word inn, you know, because there was no room for them in the inn. And the book I read, and I've heard this elsewhere, said that was actually not a good translation. When you look at Luke's gospel, that word for inn does not match the same word he uses chapters later when he's talking about the Good Samaritan dropping off the poor guy at the inn, talking to the innkeeper. But it is identical to the same word he uses during Holy Week when Jesus says, go in Jerusalem, talk to this guy, and he will prepare a feast for me in the upper room or the guest room. And so we get a different point of view if that's the case. Then it's not so much like we see in the movies where Joseph is knock on Hotel 8 and Holiday Inn and there's a room. It sounds more like Home Alone. He's crashing in with his cousins. And his cousin's like, why in the world did he bring his pregnant wife with him? He should have left her at home, you know. And she goes in labor and like, oh my goodness, we're going to do this. And they put her downstairs and Joseph in the stable. And today, if you go to Bethlehem, to the Palestinian communities, you'll see in their houses that are built in the caves and such, the families live upstairs and the livestock downstairs. It's kind of like, if you really think about it, you've got the cow and the donkey. That's kind of like there's your car and there's your refrigerator, you know, the milk in the basement. And so they're put downstairs. And so here's the king of the universe being born among the animals, the cow and the donkey. And said, while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her son. She gave birth to her firstborn son. Incidentally, that suggests that there was more children who came afterwards, not her only son, but her firstborn. And she wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger. And again, this is where archaeology kind of helps us at. You know, we see on the Christmas card says it's usually a little wooden manger, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you actually look in the Middle East, it was probably made carved out of stone, out of rock. And he's wrapped up and he's laid in this rock formation. Now, it's interesting that there's a very similar verse to this at the end of Luke's gospel. When it talks about how Jesus is buried, they wrap his body and lay him in a tomb. I don't think it's an accident. I think even in his birth, there was hints about his sacrificial death for us on the cross. And so there's Mary and Joseph, baby Jesus, and Jesus is born, and they wrap him up. and get him to go to sleep, hopefully. And she's worn out, and Joseph's worn out. And like, let's get some sleep. And then imagine their shock when a little while later they had some visitors knocking on their door. Where are these visitors coming from? Well, in the same region, we have shepherds. And bless their heart, they're on the night shift. So they're watching the sheep, watching out for wolves and such. It's dark, the stars shining. Excuse me. And all at once, an angel appears. And how many times I've told you, an angel appeared, don't think precious moments. That bright light, that powerful image. And the glory of the Lord shines around them, and they're terrified. But the angel says, once again, don't be afraid. You know, and in my mind, I have the King James Version in my head. That's what I grew up with. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy that shall be for all people. For born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. You know, Bethlehem was special. That's where King David grew up at. That's where the prophet Samuel came and anointed David as a teenager and said, this is now the true king of Israel. And Bethlehem also is Hebrew for house of bread. You know, a little while ago, Miss Phillips' brother passed away, and he was known as the bread man. You know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life that has come down from heaven. And when we take communion, we kind of remember that, him being the bread of life. This is my body, which is broken for us. And how appropriate that the bread of life was born in a town called Town of Bread. And so they appeared to these shepherds and said, the Messiah, the Christ, has been born, and I'm going to give you a hot tip how to find him. Go find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they're probably thinking, well, there'd be several of those in Bethlehem. Ah, but here's the kicker. Lying in a manger. If he's in his crib, doesn't count. If he's in that little carrier thing, doesn't count. He has to be in the manger. That's how you know. And then suddenly, we had the whole angel choir. And we often think about them singing, you know, I should say they were singing, but that's all right, though. I'm sure they were singing and saying it. And again, you know, going back to the King James Version, I think, you know, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And then they're gone. Think about that. 1 minute, all this bright light shining up the air, and then whew, darkness again. And the shepherds said to each other, let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which is taking place, which the Lord has made known to us. You know, they had a sense of urgency. Like, we've been told something special. We got to check this out. We talk about Wednesday night in our Bible study, and I'll be hitting this up in a few weeks. You know, when the wise men showed up, the priests and scribes, so Herod said, this King of the Jews, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. But none of them got up to check it out. They just kind of said, Well, these shepherds on the night watch, they said, we need to go check this out. Now think about this. That's their livelihood. They left their sheep unguarded and took off, going to Bethlehem in the middle of the night. And can you imagine how awkward that must have been? Can I help you? Yes, we're looking for a baby that's been born, that's in the manger. Ain't no baby, no manger around here. Get going, you know. But then finally, can I help you? Yes, we were told there was a baby that was born like in the manger. Know anything about that? Oh, yeah. You're talking about Cousin Joseph, his girl. Yeah, got them in the stable. Come on, you can check them, talk to them. Cousin Joseph, we got some visitors for you. And Joseph and Mary must have thought, what in the world is going on, you know? And here come these shepherds. And I do like it when they show in the movies where the sheep are with them, or maybe the shepherd has a lamb over his arm. You know, because in the scripture, later on in John's gospel, Jesus will say, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And of course, King David started out as a shepherd. So you see how it all ties in beautifully, that the good shepherd was born, and here are these shepherds coming to pay him homage. And they made the haste, and they found Mary and Joseph. And what did they do? They may know what had been told them about this child. Now, we have a triple song we sung a few weeks ago that Macy picked out. Go tell on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And that's what those shepherds did. They didn't say, well, that's nice, and went on their back to the night shift. They went through Bethlehem and told everybody they met, the Messiah has been born. He's here. And what was the response? It said all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds told them. It makes you wonder, did any of them go check this out, pay a visit? Or did they say, well, that's interesting, that's nice, and just went on with it? And then verse 19 is very poignant. I mentioned earlier how Luke in his gospel talks about how that he had investigated this carefully. You get the idea that this is an investigative reporter. And it's always my belief that that while he was investigating, he met the Blessed Mother Mary. And that's where he got this story. Good, look at verse 19. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Now, think about when you're a parent, you got those special memories that you treasure in your heart. I mean, Mary could never forget that crazy night in Bethlehem, giving birth to Jesus, and building him that manger and lying down, and then here come these shepherds. Who told you about this baby? The angel of the Lord came to us and told us that the Savior has been born. And what did the shepherds do? The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as had been told them. What an honor was for those shepherds. Who got the privilege of seeing the newborn baby king? Was it Caesar Augustus? The governor of Syria? King Herod the Great? The high priest? No. The honor went to these humble shepherds, watching their flocks by night. They were alert, and by doing so, God blessed them. They got to see the coming of the king. And isn't it interesting how Jesus warned his followers to stay alert and be awake? God, he promised he would come back as lightning flashes from the east to the west. And so, like these shepherds, we need to be about today, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen has been told to them. So be sure that today that you're glorifying and praising God for the birth of the King. And what better song to give glory and praise to God than Joy to the World? Okay, on page 246.